Welcome to our Christmas Eve candlelight service here at Bull Run Unitarian Universalist. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our opening carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. These words are written by Quinn Caldwell. What are you here for? If you came to this place expecting a tame story, you came to the wrong place. If you came for a story that does not threaten you, you came for a different story than the one we tell. If you came to hear of the coming of a God who only showed up so that you could have a nice day with your loved ones, then you came for a God whom we do not worship here. For even a regular baby is not a tame thing, and goodness that cannot threaten complacency and evil is not much good at all. And a God who would choose to give up power and invincibility to become an infant for you certainly didn't do it just so you could have dinner. But if you came because you think that unwed teenage mothers are some of the strongest people in the world, if you came because you think that the kind of people who work third shift doing stuff you'd rather not do might attract an angel's attention before you, snoring comfortably in your bed, would, if you came because you think there are wise men and women to be found among undocumented travelers from far lands and that they might be able to show you God, if you came to hear a story of tyrants trembling while heaven comes to peasants, if you came because you believe that God loves the animals as much as the people and so made them the first witnesses to the saving of the world, if you came for a story of reversals that might end up reversing you, if you came for a tale of adventure and bravery where strong and gentle people win and the powerful and violent go down to dust, where the rich lose their money but find their lives and the poor are raised up like kings, if you came to be reminded that God loves you too much to leave you unchanged, if you came to follow the light even if it blinds you, if you came for salvation and not safety, then my friends, you have come to the right place. Please rise now in body or spirit for our carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. On this night of celebration and song, we tell again an ancient story about an unwed but blessed mother, the night of her baby's birth, and the people who came to see for themselves this newly born child who would fulfill the prophecies for a great and peaceful leader in the land of Israel, which had long been subjected to invading empires and ruled by corrupted officials. It is an epic story, a mythic story. There is value in telling the Christmas story each year because every myth offers us a framework for meaning-making told through symbols, images, and metaphors. They don't explain so much as offer an enchanting, elevating, or disturbing experience, sometimes giving off bright future visions and sometimes warning us about where we should not go. Myths continually come back to life all around us. No age or people leaves them behind because we always face the recurring problems of life they address, as Huffington Post contributor Craig Chalquist wrote several years ago. Each of the four Gospels offers us a different take on Jesus' life and ministry, because each of the Gospel writers has a different intended audience and a different message to deliver. In the celebration of Jesus' birth, we rely on Luke and Matthew, who seem to have developed their birth legends to make theological points, patterning their stories on motifs in the Hebrew Bible. Yet the legends they wove have an enduring mythic meaning, according to John Burens. As our opening words by Quinn Caldwell remind us, this is a story of reversals that might end up reversing you. Or, as Kendall Gibbons succinctly put it, Christmas is subversive. Christmas requires of us that we hold the hardships endured during life journeys in tension with the possibility, hope, joy, and peace imbued in this mythic child and the birth of every human child. However, this peace, this joy, this hope, this possibility, these are not tame, nice, unthreatening, passive feelings. No, they are active and subversive. They are about creating heaven here on earth, about saving the world we inhabit and saving us from ourselves, about being changed, about transformation. And there are times when we need to hear even an ancient subversive story retold in a way that brings it back to life all around us, all over again. When we change our perspective, it opens us up to new possibilities. Changing our perspective allows us to change where the story goes, and then we change the future. We do this so that we can hear the Christmas message with renewed meaning. This morning I heard the story retold as if it had just taken place in 2005 after Hurricane Katrina, and the family ended up in a place that was supposed to provide safety and did not. In our second reading this evening, we have heard the Annunciation delivered to Mary regarding Jesus' birth and the words of the canticle she sings in response to the news, praising God for the promise of this new life. The reading that comes next, our third lesson, covers the journey by Joseph and Mary. They were, for all intents and purposes, part of a caravan, a company of travelers on a journey through desert or hostile regions. This reading also tells of the baby's birth and the Annunciation to the shepherds. But this is not the usual biblical story as told by Luke. Instead, it is a contemporary retelling by my colleague, Amy Petrie Shaw, meant to shake us out of our complacency, because there is nothing tame about the birth of any baby. And it came to pass in those days that Central American countries were in turmoil, and word went out that people were going to flee to the United States. And this flight was made during the second decade of the 21st century. And many people fled the violence, some alone and some with their families. And Joseph also went up from the Tegucigalpa in the central district within the department of Francisco Morazan in Honduras, because his house had been bombed and his mother and father murdered in their old age, to seek asylum with Maria, his pregnant girlfriend. And so it was that while they were traveling there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son on the ground and wrapped him in her own shirt and held him to her heart because there was no safe room to lay him in anywhere. And there were in the United States shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the heat of the desert a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, donated by Catholic Charities, lying in a cheap crib in a refugee center in McAllen, Texas. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said unto one another, Let us now go even unto the border and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, but the crib in McAllen was empty, dark, and still. And they asked about the child, and they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this infant. And a refugee overheard their words and said, There were two named Maria and Joseph with my group in Mexico. And they had a child, but the tear gas struck them and they could not breathe. The child has died, and the woman too. The child will not return for us to see. And the shepherds went away in silence, uncomforted and alone. And in the darkness on the Mexican side of the border, the man Joseph used a rock to carve the names Jesus y Maria into a shattered board, the only tombstone for a child which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Gloria in excelsis Deo. This poem by the great African-American poet Langston Hughes, Carol of the Brown King. Of the three wise men who came to the king, one was a brown man, so they sing. Of the three wise men who followed the star, one was a brown king from afar. They brought fine gifts of spices and gold and jeweled boxes of beauty untold. Unto his humble manger they came and bowed their heads in Jesus' name. Three wise men, one dark like me, part of his nativity. Would you rise in body or spirit for our carol, We Three Kings of Orient Are. The Christmas story ends here with the family migrating back to Israel from Egypt, where they sought asylum until the shifts in governmental power had changed. They could be safe again in their home country, although life there would surely continue to be challenging under the rule of the Roman Empire. Change the administration, and if you're lucky, the policies will change for the better. However, before that takes place, Rachel is heard weeping for her children in Ramah. Innocents have been slaughtered. Wailing and lamentation provide no consolation for these premature deaths, like those of migrants at our southern border. It is horribly disturbing for me, and I hope for you as well, to think that Amy Petrie Shaw's retelling of Jesus' nativity might become the cautionary tale of our age. It is a story that disturbs and warns, but does not enchant. The birth narratives of Matthew and Luke are enduring because, like other myths, the story plots succeed in both disturbing and elevating the hearer. The biblical telling of Jesus' birth and life warns about where we should not go, while at the same time providing a vision of a bright future filled with joy and peace. It is in that future bright vision that we anchor our hopes. In a recent Huffington Post column, Bill McKibben described 1968 as a crazy year, its event moving at a horrific pace. The human drama seemed out of control in a way that it hasn't been in the years since, till now, of course. The year ended with an event that shifted our collective human perspective. 50 years ago, on this very night, the astronauts of the Apollo 8 spacecraft saw with their own eyes and captured it on film, a vision of the Earth never before seen by humankind. A copy of that image, albeit in black and white, is on the cover of the Order of Service. It was a transformational moment for Commander Frank Borman, cameraman Bill Anders, and the spacecraft's third crew member, Jim Lovell. It was a breathtaking, heart-stopping moment when they saw the Earth rising above the moon's horizon, a marbled blue, white, green, and brown colored planet in the black and white monochrome of space. Looking at the now iconic photograph, we are struck by the beauty of this unique object in our solar system. Art in the form of a photograph, more than all of the science before and since, has shown us that we are all part of the same interdependent web of existence. But we had to get outside of ourselves through that, "Oh my God, here's the Earth coming up," most beautiful, heart-catching sight of Bill Anders and Frank Borman's lives. We will only ever see this sight through a photograph and the story it tells. Image, symbol, metaphor. Earthrise immediately had an impact on people all over the world. In the United States, the environmental movement made use of this unifying image and other images of the Earth as seen from space, one of which graces the front of our sanctuary. The limits of the natural world to bounce back from human abuses were brought home through the change in perspective provided by astronauts in the course of their exploration. The effect of the image is what gives it its mythic importance. If we understand astrology in the broadest sense to be the search for meaning in the sky, and those wise men were astrologers, then the Apollo 8 astronauts were able to give humankind an image of astrological significance, not so very different in a metaphorical sense from the star that the three astrologers from the East followed, a star to Bethlehem to find the baby who would bring light to the world. The late Joseph Campbell told Bill Moyers in The Power of Myth that seeing the Earth from space and thinking of ourselves as coming out of the Earth, that we are the Earth, we are the consciousness of the Earth. These are the eyes of the Earth, and this is the voice of the Earth. That might instigate new myths for the 20th century, and now the 21st. Campbell places the ground of the new mythology in the eye of reason. Viewed from space, no divisions are visible. There are no walls. No geopolitical boundaries, no splits of any kind that create polarization into us and them. The power of the Earthrise image lies in the way it changes our perceptions and our perspectives. thereby giving us the opportunities to change the story. Wherein lies our hope for peace and joy? What is the bright future vision contained in the poetic visual of a blue-green planet? Is it a planet where the people most likely to suffer at the hands of dictators and despots flee to places of refuge and safety? Will we find sanctuary in communities of compassionate and reasonable people? Will we wonder if we've come to the right place? Will we know that we are welcome? Will we feel at home among our neighbors? With all of the human drama playing out in the present geopolitics, Earthrise and other poetic images of Earth seen from space need to be the mythic images of our time. Earthrise as a symbol of our uniquely human place in the universe, metaphor for the unity of human experience and a planetary society. As we gaze upon the Earth from outside of our humanly limited perspective, may we glimpse the miracle and hope in each and every newborn baby. And may we, as Earthlings, as global citizens, rise up to heal the planet's natural systems as best we can and care for the most vulnerable among us. At this time, we begin what has become a very special ritual in Unitarian Universalist congregations, which is to sing Silent Night, Holy Night by candlelight. And I will ask Martin and Pat to come forward. We will bring the light down to you, and we'll light the candles. And Mike is going to turn the lights off. Would you join with me in our chalice extinguishing words? They are in your order of service. Saying together, we extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts out into the world. Merry Christmas.